Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Voters in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. At the invitation of the White House, we joined him at Custer Farms and had a wide-ranging interview that was unfortunately interrupted multiple times by the stormy weather overhead.
Okay, I don't want to throw stones as the person who last week we couldn't get our own phone system to work almost ever and had to and we hung up on Mike Wood a couple of times and we hung up on Rick Scott a couple of times and it sucked, okay? And, you know, when you know the problem is coming and you've seen it for days, you can kind of adapt and make it sound like it's not too bad, especially with good collaboration from regulars who will diligently call right back and pretend like nothing happened. But so context, okay, I understand, you know, when you try to do things for radio and TV, sometimes not all the technical elements work the way you want them to. That being said, whose dumbass idea was it to do an interview in a grain silo with a metal roof in a rainstorm? It's just, I mean, it was, you know, here, the substance of this doesn't really matter a lot. I mean, it, you know, it was part of the interview, but it was constant. And at times it was so loud that the two of them, Kristen Welker, bless her heart. I mean that in all the southern ways it's meant. And President Trump sitting across the hay from each other, leaning in with the lapel mics, can barely hear each other over the storm. Sometimes it's not that loud. Sometimes it's deafening.
We know if anybody goes there, if anybody went there, any digging mechanism, any truck, any tractors, anything, anybody went there, we would... No,
for nuclear material.
Take care of it. Is that wind or what?
Is that rain?
What is that?
Rain.
This would be the first of multiple interruptions due to the weather. Rain hitting the metal roof, making it difficult for both of us to hear each other.
So what is that? Wind? Is that rain? Is that somebody shooting BBs at the outside of this silo?
So as we're having this conversation, we can hear a little bit of rain.
No, a lot of rain.
A lot of rain. Let me try to get a clear understanding of how the United States would get the nuclear material out. You've called it nuclear dust.
Yeah.
Will you and would you be open to sending in U.S. forces to retrieve?
So to retrieve the dust. And again, it's so distracting what's going on with the rain at this time. But
we've had 13 people killed, which I hate. We've had 13 people killed. And that includes two wars. That's Venezuela and that's Iran.
But do you have a cutoff point in your
head? No, but you keep talking about speed. Kristen, you were in Vietnam for 19 years and you tell me about 3 months. And in 3 months, I've demolished the Navy, the Air Force, anti-aircraft. They have no radar. They have no nothing.
And, you know, it's fair. I mean, it's fair. The criticism that, you know, this isn't over in 3 months when, I mean, it doesn't need to be 19 years, but obviously we have a fairly recent in history example of us Afghanistan, you know, Iraq. We have examples of us, you know, thinking something is going to be over real fast and it's just not. And so 3 months in, is that too soon to start asking where's the deal? Well, he says no. In fact, he says, you know, we've so far, I mean, give us a little bit of time. They've been doing this for 47 years. We've been doing this for 3 months. And by the way, I thought this particular perspective on this was quite good, that the Iranians, I think the Iranians are the ones who are still alive, not terribly wounded, you know, and he keeps talking about who's alive and who's not. And he wouldn't say, he says he knows where the sun is and wouldn't say, but that they've got to be thinking, good Lord, what's happened to us? You know, we were running the region. We could operate with impunity through our proxies everywhere. And here all of a sudden we've just, you know, we've had our butts handed to us.
I think they can't believe they're in the situation where they've been virtually decapitated.
But if they're so desperate, Mr. President, why haven't they said yes to
because
the terms you're
they're
proposing?
Strong, they're proud. There are things they never thought they'd be doing that they're going to have to do. They've got no choice. And it takes a little while. You know, you're talking about 47 years of getting away with whatever they wanted. I mean, this should have been done long ago.
Yeah, the mindset surely among whoever is left that has been around for a while has got to be, what happened here? You know, we've played all these American presidents and secretaries of state for all these years, and all of a sudden we've got, you know, bombs everywhere and planes everywhere, and we've lost control of everything that we used to take for granted. Okay. So I think the president is right about that. And, you know, then start to get into the question of, well, you claimed that you're going to bring this great deal. Why didn't you do that early in your first term? And he's like, no, it's better now. It's better now. And of course, that's the way President Trump thinks is, you know, whatever is happening right now is the best thing that's ever happened, as long as he's in charge of it. And if what's happening right now, he's not in charge of it, then it's the worst, terrible, fraudulent, horrible thing that's ever been happening. I mean, look at his reaction to the California elections, right?
You promised that you were going to negotiate a better deal. Do you wish you'd done it in your first term when you ripped it up at that, before you ripped up the deal?
No, they weren't ready. No, this is much better. This is much better.
Will you?
I would have done it in my first term, Israel wouldn't have been ready. Hear that sound? That sound of thunder, lightning,
is that going to interrupt, guys?
No.
Okay.
People will understand. We're in a farm.
That's true.
And that's right. And by the way, I think kudos, frankly, to both of them for trying to power through it. At the same time, who's responsible for all of this?
Will any deal you make include the release of Americans who are being held by Iran?
Well, we talk about it and we'll see. Nobody really has an accurate list of who they are, what they are, or if they're being held. But if they're... we've been talking about it. Nobody really has a list. You know that, right? You know, you're asking me about, nobody has a list.
But are you demanding a list? Are you demanding to know and saying they've got to come home?
You're supposed to give me the list.
John, would you ever schedule an interview in a grain silo?
No. Or I would say, Mr. President, can we move inside?
Yeah, let's find something else.
Other than a tin roof.
Let's have staffers hold a blanket over everybody's head so that at least the sound is dampened slightly. It's just, and that's not even the loudest.
You have openly said you've been frustrated by Israel's continued.
They could have been out in it. It wouldn't have been this loud. Because the echo.
Are you and Prime Minister Netanyahu on the same page?
Yeah, we are. We get along very well. We've been great comrades. We did a very, very big number on a certain country that was nothing but trouble for 47 years. I disagree with him on a couple of things.
I was actually thinking, I think Saturday Night Live is still not on. I know they weren't on last weekend, but if I was doing Saturday Night Live, this would be the monologue. I mean, of course, or the opening. The opening would be the rainstorm and the flood, and I mean, you'd have two of each kind of animal being gathered together. You'd have Noah's Ark. You'd have them floating down the sea in a barge. I mean, you'd something, because this is ridiculous. But the only problem is that the best jokes would be she asks a question, he doesn't answer the question. Actually, the interview was pretty substantial, and she asked, I mean, it's Kristen Welker, the questions were stupid, but he did his best to answer them. Of course, a lot of his answers were stupid. So, I mean, but, you know, they were both actually doing a really good job of it in spite of the giant downpour.
Are you demanding that Lebanon be a part of the short-term deal that you're negotiating?
I'm not demanding.
Okay.
I think they'd like to see it, but I'm not demanding.
Okay. I wonder if we should, let me just get a gut check here. Should we pause for 5 minutes and let this pass? I just want to be able to hear everything he said.
She's talking to her producer. Should we pause? It stresses me out, though, a little bit, John, as because I think about it from the technical producer standpoint,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, what? And by the way, here's the funny thing. I had started watching this interview on Meet the Press, having already seen the headlines, which is Trump storms out of interview. Trump refuses to answer questions. Yeah, at the end, when they start bickering really heavily about election fraud and the 1776 anti-weaponization fund, which I think is a ridiculous, absurd abuse of power, and thank God it's not going to happen. Anyway, they start bickering about all of this stuff at the end, and he does storm out at the end, calling her a fake, liar, terrible journalist, you know, all of this. But it made it sound like, the headlines made it sound like they barely got off much conversation at all, and the president got irritated and just left. He was with her for like an hour. I mean, actually, on the record, it was probably 45 minutes long, and they say this has been edited down to take out the times when they were waiting. He spent a lot of time with her in this interview, so that was all very misleading. But, yeah, it was definitely... You cannot talk about this interview without talking about the rain.
You don't want to let him have a nuclear weapon. And I'm doing the world a service, but I'm doing our country a service. It's America first. I'm doing our country a service. Nice rain.
It is raining hard.
Okay. But the answer is good. Let's just keep going.
Let's keep going.
Let's power through it, right?
I like that.
Here, we paused nearly 5 minutes for the rain to pass.
So let's power through it. I kind of like that attitude. Anyway, whatever. It's a weird thing. I've never seen anything quite like this on an interview show on network television. Definitely unusual. I almost thought Jim Cantore was going to pop his head in there for a second. So.
Hi, guys.
The storm out, so to speak, was not nearly the story that it's been made out to be. It was just, I mean, what surprised me actually the most is after she starts saying that he doesn't have any evidence of fraud, which, I mean, he doesn't. He's like, I use my eyes. Okay. The part of his narrative, his brand, is that everything's always fraud whenever he doesn't win. It's nonsense. It's also terrible to be perpetuating that in a country that depends on free and fair elections. That's not healthy for our democracy. Of course, people that view things from his point of view think that you're an idiot if you don't believe that there's fraud everywhere. Okay, well, that's not great either. But that led to the him leaving the interview, and that really wasn't that big of a thing. What surprised me is that he apparently agreed to do this again with her. But remember, Trump's a showman. Trump knows. He knows this is hilarious entertainment. He knows this is captivating. He knows that calling Kristen Welker a terrible person and a liberal and a bad journalist and attacking Meet the Press and NBC and all of these things, and he knows it's a reality show. Now, does he also happen to believe it? Yeah, okay. But certainly he knew that, well, if we quit this, it's going to be stupid. But if we just keep going, it becomes this giant circus. And he's the ringmaster. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The substantial issues about whether he did or didn't promise to, you know, never engage in any wars of blockading Iran, whether that constitutes a war. We'll get into some of that later on in the show. But for now, just the rain, I thought, was entertaining enough. 521, I'm Andrew McKay.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids Max Strength. Its dual-active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
If you're
talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
So I guess you have a choice. You want a war? Or do you want to just give me a gun?
John, we're going to discover something that we both suspected, that we are not really in sync on the sports that we pay attention to. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. So, first off, did you watch either or both of the San Antonio Spurs New York Knicks games? I'm going to say you watched both of them.
No.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. My prediction was wrong. I thought you were into the NBA in the finals, at least.
Well, yeah, I mean, I meant to watch it, but St. Louis was playing, and takes over, TVs.
Right. Well, after we dropped two to your Rangers last week, which I was glad to get one. That was a frustrating series, but, you know, did pretty good against the Reds. I haven't watched yesterday's game yet, but, you know, okay. Probably frustrating for Reds fans, especially the game on Friday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, the Spurs are down 2-0.
And it comes on like late. Like we have to be. Well,
yeah,
I get up
it is. It's always
it's
always interfering with the 10 o'clock news on Channel 3. You know, like,
So I normally fall asleep around 7. So
there you go. All right. So then, second question for you: did you happen to watch any of the tennis over the weekend? I would say you did not.
I did not. I was racing on, bro.
I figure you're watching NASCAR, maybe IndyCar, you know, anything NASCAR. With big loud motors, right?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me the news out of the NASCAR for the people who care about that?
That one guy hit the wall. Ooh.
Bad?
Pretty bad.
So it was a race?
Yeah, it was a race.
Okay. All right. Who won? I don't know what the race was.
Let's see here. It was Denny Hamlin.
Okay. All right. The number At 11. Least it's a name I recognize, so I'll take that.
All yeah. Right.
In the tennis world, the French Open, there's four major events, the French, Australia, and the U.S. and Wimbledon. And this is always the first one of the season. And it's on clay, and it's fun. And it looked like it was going to be a blowout in the women's side, and it completely was. Andreeva beat Cholinska, whatever, however you say your name. It was 6-3, 6-2. It was a total blowout. John's playing with his hand over here, just back
it's
and forth. There you go. All right, so she wins. It's fine. The other match, which
it's
is
like
the men's,
a cat watching a little thing go back and forth.
The other match was Zverev and Gabali. They were both in their first. Not they were both looking for their first Grand Slam win. Zverev has won like 25 tournaments or something. He'd been in it before and lost in the French Open final several years ago. But this looked like it was going to be a blowout because it was 6-1 in the first set and. Gabali just could not handle his serve. I mean, he serves like 140. It's crazy. Which, by the way, side to side with the women, it's also, well, I don't think that men's tennis and women's tennis are even the same sport. They may play by the same rules on the same court, but, you know, they're not the same sport. This notion that, you know, men's and women's sports are just, no, I mean, you just watch. Anyway, but Zverev destroyed him in the first set, 6-1. But then Gabali got the second set and got the fourth set in a tiebreaker. So it was 2-2 going into the finals, and that's all he had. He could not do anything in the fifth set. And so with, it was still very entertaining. I look for entertaining things, and this was very entertaining. Not as entertaining on the radio, maybe, as it would have been to watch it, but dink shots, deep lobs, back and forth, and the winner.
Yeah. You can so strip nice. The labels. Sasha Zverev is now and forever a Grand Slam champion.
Yeah, so I mean that was fun. Again, I figured you didn't watch it. Okay, so last one, and I'm a little like I don't know what to guess about this one. I have a thought, and my thought is that you did not watch the Belmont Stakes. Did I guess right? You didn't watch the horse race?
No.
So you'll watch motorsports, but you won't watch horse racing.
Right.
What? Because they don't crash as often?
Well, that's true.
Okay, and they go slower?
Oh, a lot slower.
It's funny. Okay, so this is, remember Golden Tempo was the horse that won the Kentucky Derby by coming from all the way in the back?
Yes.
and he passed everybody in the last quarter or so of the race to run all the way to the front and destroy the field. And then he did not run in the Preakness. And then I think he, maybe it's a she, and all of a sudden I feel uncertain. Anyway, did run in the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. It's a small field. It's 9 horses.
Your Kentucky Derby winner, Golden Tempo. No.
Last into the stockade or whatever you call it.
Final time.
The race apparatus.
Belmont Stakes at Saratoga Racecourse. They're in the gate.
And right out the gate, on the, all the way outside, runs to the right. Like, doesn't even run down the track. And the jockey's like, no, follow those horses.
Kind of like a flat tire in NASCAR.
Okay.
Car goes to the right.
Yeah.
Emerging market inches up on the outside.
And so Golden Tempo's like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be chasing those dummies.
Golden Tempo once again takes his place at the back of the field.
So Golden Tempo is all the way at the back, 9th place. Halfway through the race
comes Renegade and Commandment, stride for stride, and Jose Ortiz takes the Kentucky Derby winner, Golden Tempo, onto the rail, and he's 12 lengths off the pace.
12 lengths
it's power
back.
Shift on the inside.
12 that's 12 horse lengths behind the leader. Just kind of bloop, I'm just back here getting all this mud in my face.
Squirrel.
I mean, the back 3 horses are filthy, covered with dirt and mud right now because, you know, they're in the back of the pack. So finally, Golden Tempo starts to inch its way forward.
Golden Tempo is coming along with Commandment as the field turns for home. On the inside, Growth Equity is just in front. Chief Wallaby comes to him. Out the center of the racetrack, Commandment's running a giant race. Defend off Commandment in the final stride. Golden Tempo pulls away.
Races past everybody and wins by a full length. The horse is ridiculous. It's sad that it didn't run in the Preakness, but it's ridiculous what this horse can do.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump earlier on Truth Social posting, Israel and Iran must immediately stop shooting. This after the two enemies traded fire.
More explosions rocked the Iranian capital of Tehran as the Israelis are going on the offensive after they came under a significant Iranian ballistic missile attack overnight. This all started yesterday afternoon when the IDF struck the Lebanese capital of Beirut.
Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv. Former reality TV star, Republican candidate for mayor in L.A., Spencer Pratt, falls to 3rd place. Right now, he would miss out on the November runoff.
Mayor Karen Bass still leads the pack, but progressive city councilwoman Nithya Raman, she's racking up votes as thousands that have come in the last several days have gone to her.
That's Fox's Anita Vogel reporting. Major earthquake rocks the southern Philippines. At least 32 people are dead. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3 72 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast in just a few minutes. A 17-year-old Niceville teenager fighting for his life after contracting a flesh-eating bacteria infection from a minor scratch he got while swimming. Josiah Thompson is being treated at the Studer Family Children's Hospital at Sacred Heart in Pensacola after testing positive for Vibrio vulnificus. He's now undergone multiple surgeries, and his family says he still faces a long road ahead. The CDC saying that it's the first reported case in the area this year. Escambia County did have at least 10 Vibrio infections last year. Doctors say anybody with an open wound who swims in warm salt water or brackish water should get immediate medical attention if they notice redness, warmth, or pain around the wound. Well, a man has died, a suspect facing a murder charge after a shooting on Friday in Foley. Baldwin County deputies say they responded to Doc McDuffie Road at about 5:30 on Friday night, where they found a victim who died at the scene despite deputies pursuing life-saving efforts. 37-year-old Patrick Beasley was detained at the scene and is expected to be charged with murder. The victim's identity has not been released. Authorities say the shooting was an isolated incident with no threat to the public. Well, a fisherman was bitten by a shark at Fort Pickens on Pensacola Beach on Friday. Escambia County EMS Fire Rescue and Pensacola Beach lifeguards responded at about 6 o'clock that night. The county says the man was trying to cut the shark free from his fishing line when it bit him. A helicopter was seen arriving at the scene. Details on the extent of the fisherman's injuries have not been released. 25-year-old Escambia County man facing charges after reportedly firing multiple shots inside of his apartment on Saturday morning. Deputies responded to the Ascend at Pathstone Apartments on Riverstone Drive. They say Demarion Kendrick was hallucinating when he fired his weapon. Bullets went through the walls, reportedly, into a neighboring unit. Luckily, nobody was inside. No injuries were reported. Kendrick was taken into custody without incident. Well, Florida has now enacted emergency rules to protect its cattle herds from the New World screwworm after the parasitic fly was found in West Texas this week. The state is temporarily blocking warm-blooded animal imports from infested zones through June 10th. After that, animals from high-risk areas must have veterinary inspections and certified paperwork before entering the state. The screwworm, a fly that lays eggs in body openings and feeds on live animals, was eradicated from the U.S. in 1966, but has slowly been moving north from Central America through Mexico. Florida's cattle industry generates more than $2 billion annually. It is 5:34 here at News Radio, 92.3 right now, 72 in Pensacola, 71 in Milton, 74 in Gulf Breeze. Our next news at 6, we've got breaking news. Anytime it happens, I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Anthropic said in a blog post that it is proposing that the world's top artificial intelligence companies come up with a coordinated way to pause development of advanced AI systems, warning the technology is improving so quickly that there's risk humans will lose control. Anthropic rival OpenAI argued for a different approach in a published report, saying that democratic governments, not private companies, must ultimately determine the rules. Amazon is rolling out its next-generation warehouse robots that respond to natural language. Amazon executive John Bounfrey told CNBC, "Our experience of robots is that it's actually driven up employment rather than the reverse." NVIDIA has announced a series of deals in South Korea with tech giants including SK Hynix and Naver as it looks to secure crucial memory chips to power its AI ambitions and entice new customers. NVIDIA and its partners, which also included SK Telecom and conglomerate Doosan Group, did not disclose the value of the deals. Futures are mixed as tensions rise in the Middle East. That's Your Money Now.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody
explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on a farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Ryan Jenkins. He is our good friend, farmer, owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. And I am really eager to find out what's been going on with all the changes in the weather for the farmers locally. Ryan, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great, but I'm very eager to find out how you're doing. The last time we talked, it was a drought. You said you needed rain. God over-delivered. We had catastrophic rain in the north end of both counties over the last month or so, a couple of different times. How have you been doing? What are you up to? How is the crop planting going? You tell me. What's going on?
Well, we've been pretty busy. Off and on, it has been a struggle. You're right. You know, I can't remember exactly. I know when we talked, but I can't remember what was going on, if we had started getting rain yet or not.
No, I think, but, you know, I think we might have gotten like one day of a half inch that week before, a month ago.
Right. So we had basically, for the most part, been in a drought since about last August, and it was too dry for us to get in the field. It was too dry for us to begin planting our crops. So we were waiting for some rain to get started, and we got some rain. And then it cleared off, and we were able to, you know, we've got enough equipment. We can do a lot in a little bit of time. So we got out there and got a bunch of peanuts and cotton planted. And then that's when the real rain started. So since we've talked last, we've already replanted a little over 300 acres of cotton. I've got some peanuts to replant. It's been a pretty big struggle. You know, some of our fields I've been keeping up with it. We've had about 19 inches of rain on since the last time.
19? Wow. Okay. All right. I mean, I knew some of the north end had gotten like 3-4 inches here and there, but I wasn't sure if it was that bad. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I thought we had our phones fixed. We don't, but I'm sure Ryan will give us a call back and we'll manage to make it work, man. And that was the thing I'd been worried about is, you know, if it's not working, are you then getting, you know, too much of a good thing, so to speak, or not? So, all right. We got Ryan on the line again. Ryan, are you there, sir?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that. I'll tell you what. If it drops again, I'll call you on a different line, and we'll make it work. We're slowly figuring this thing out. The gremlins are getting us. Okay. So you were saying you got 19 inches since then, and what has that done for you as a farmer?
You know, it's really put us behind. Typically, May is a pretty dry month, so that's when we also harvest our winter grains, which is our wheat and oats. They've been really affected by the rain. You know, it's really hurt us with that. And now we're waiting. You know, typically we're through planting by now. We might have a field or something to plant, but we still like hundreds of acres of peanuts, cotton, and soybeans, having everything planted. And then that gets into another part of it, which is your crop insurance. So there have been a ton of struggles since the last time.
So you've got, I mean, the basic issues, you've got the problem of having to replant, which is extra cost. Then you've got the problem of areas that you cannot get to because you've had to waste time extra replanting and you've been pushed back because of the dryness of it and being able to get things in the ground. And then you've got to deal with crop insurance, which the deadline for that is today. Like today is the deadline for that. So all of the different issues that we're dealing with the farmers in the north end. All right. I promise, Ryan, we're doing our best. You're being a trooper. I love it. I was just explaining to folks how You know, you've lost out on crops because you've had to replant. You've lost out on land because you took time having to replant. You're sitting with half your field basically unplanted, and we're up against the crop insurance date today, right?
Correct. Today is the end of the maximum amount of crop insurance we get. So today they call it the final plant date, and then they give us 10 days past today, but every day they take off a percentage of the insurance that you're able to get.
Okay, so reduced coverage.
It's reduced coverage, but you still have to pay 100% of the premium.
Oh, so, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
The cost is the same, and the benefit keeps diminishing. Thank you. Well done.
Exactly. Then in 10 days from now, it'll be over, and you can only get 50% of your coverage, but you still have to pay 100% of the cost. So it's a big time. There's a lot going on. It's a big challenge. I'm sitting here in the barn right now, you know, looking at all this seed that still has to be planted that typically they would be up and growing and pretty by now. So the fields are still, some of them are dry enough. We're working. We're still getting stuff done. But a lot of them are still too wet to even, as of yesterday, to even walk out into to check them. So,
and I assume that if this is true for you, it's true for most of the rest of the farmers in the north end of both counties and the region.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everybody's in a situation in our area, you know, in our general area here.
It's unbelievable.
Pretty serious. And this, you know, we've talked before about the ag economy and how stressed it is right now. This is a year where we don't need any hiccups, really, and we're already facing some. But, you know, that's farming, and that's what we signed up for. And God always gives us a way to get through it, even when we can't see it ourselves. We'll look back and say, how did we do that? And it's through His grace and His mercy, and we'll be fine. It's just, you know, a challenge right now.
And now I assume, you correct me if I've got this analysis wrong on any point, you had to invest in all of the tools and the inputs as if you were going to have a full planting done, which you have not been able to do. So you're not going to be able to recoup cost on those elements, and you've got loans and notes to pay for that. And in the process, you got costs that have gone, and you're only going to get a diminished some fraction of your eventual maximum yield. And based on what you've told me, I'm just ballparking. You tell me if I've got it wrong. It sounds like you're going to miss out on a third to a half of your entire yield come the end of the year. Am I in the vicinity of what's going on?
Well, I wouldn't say we're so late that the number's that great yet.
Okay.
But we're to the part now where we have to start worrying about an early freeze or early frost.
Ugh.
That'll be what will... You know, we can have a good growing season, we can make a good crop, and then we could get a freeze at the end. But you know what, on the same token, we could get good weather all the way through, and this could end up being a blessing, you know, because of a little drought here or there, or a hurricane early or late, or something like that. There might be something we can't see now that this actually is helping us, whereas if we'd have planted everything early, it would have hurt us. So,
okay.
You know,
well, I love the note of optimism. I know you're a man of faith,
not,
you know, so I'll take that.
That's right. I'm not throwing my hands up in the air or anything like that. But you know, just like you say, I'm sitting here looking at all this peanut seed that has not been planted, and you can't take it back.
Can you at least use it next year? Will it hold for a year?
No, it won't be. It won't be that good next year. But we're going to get it planted.
Okay.
We're going to get it done. It's not a true disaster yet. It's just a bump in the road, kind of.
Senator Scott, we didn't get a chance to talk to him about it yesterday, but he was involved in a bill that's going to help out a lot of the farmers who suffered in the freeze that hit us in March. Didn't really hit us here as much, but down south, I guess it did. Is this a big deal to other farmers in Florida?
It's a huge deal to some of the fruit and vegetable growers down in Florida. You know, I'm very active in Farm Bureau and have friends scattered throughout the state. And those guys, they really got hit hard, and they needed the help. And I'm glad to hear that maybe they're going to be getting some help, but They really took a big punch during the winter with that freeze. It really hurt them. I heard many of them talking about it, like devastating type stuff. So it's a big deal for those guys. You know, it's their emergency. It's their problem, and somebody's coming to help them. So that's always a good thing.
Anything else you want to let us know? I know you're super busy right now. In fact, I was actually surprised you had enough time to spend with us on the phone. I thought you might just be out in the field working, because it's wall to wall right now, especially with that deadline on the crop insurance. But anything else you want to let us know about?
No, y'all just pray for us and watch out for us. There are a lot of tractors and equipment moving up and down the roads right now, trying to get things wrapped up. I mean, even at nighttime. So just be on the lookout for us if you're up in this area. Be careful and just say a little prayer for us, and I hope I give you a great report the next time we talk.
Hey, I'll take it. And I just want to say a little report, a little prayer. Let's say big prayers for you as well. We always like to end with a farm fact or something like that. Do you have one for us this month?
I will. So we're planting peanut. We're planting a lot of stuff right now, but we'll talk about peanuts for a second. Do you have any idea how many seed per acre I plant of peanuts? My goal is to get this many plants per acre. Do you know how?
I'm gonna be so wrong about this. This is wonderful. I'm gonna say 2,000. That's my guess.
All right, about 86,000.
Oh my God. Okay. That's why I live in the city. All right, go ahead. So 86,000 per acre.
That's it. So 86,000. That's what we're doing. So we know how many pounds of seed there are. We know how many seed there are per pound. So, you know, with the different varieties, there's different size of seeds. So we put 86,000 of this variety, like the one I'm planting right now. That's about 113 pounds of seed per acre. And the variety that I'm moving to later today, they're bigger seeds. So I'll still be putting 86,000, but I'll be planting close to 150 pounds per acre.
Okay.
So a lot of math involved in this. We're steady checking our stuff all day long, but I just thought it'd be interesting for y'all to know we try to get about 86,000 seed out per acre.
Well, I will say this, at least I'm glad you don't have to do it by hand anymore.
That's right, exactly. We do count them every year to find out how many seed are in that 1 pound, and you would think that wouldn't be hard, but I have the hardest trouble. You know, I can't keep my concentration going that long.
84,599.
Or dad will be helping me, and he'll start counting out loud, and it's like, just hush, just count your own over there, and then we'll talk about it when it's over.
Okay, I'm sure this is a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If the different seeds are different sizes, how does your planting machine handle the fact that the different seeds are different sizes? It seems like that would be an impediment.
It's not. It's the way it's made, it's not a problem. And it's not grossly so, but you're talking such big numbers that it makes a difference.
Like, okay.
Like one seed, there might be 600 seed in a pound, and then the other variety, there might be 700 seed in a pound.
Oh, okay. So the size difference is pretty small, really, as a percentage basis.
Right.
Okay,
like,
I got gotcha.
You might or might not notice it with your naked eye.
Okay. All right. Very good. Ryan Jenkins, our good friend, owner Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, joins us once a month to give us an update on farming. I got a text in, by the way, Ryan. Somebody says, I miss having Ryan on every week. Tell him we love him. I will. All right.
Well, thank you.
Ryan, be well. God bless you and what you're doing and all the farmers. And thank you so much, as I always say, for feeding my kids and putting clothes on their back and putting peanut butter in their mouth. I love it. Ryan Jenkins, thanks so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again in a month.
Hey, thanks for having us on. Y'all be careful and have a good weekend. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Plus, you get all the savvy commentary from me, seed planting machine.
I know, right? I'm like,
Landry, there's the spreader and there's the planter. And, you know, to his credit, Ryan never makes fun of me for my stupidity, but, you know, I'll take it. 552 on News Radio. Now, I love talking to Ryan. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Another area that I am not the most knowledgeable about is home repairs or building things for a living. I mean, I can do it with a lot of profanity. But, you know, if you need to work on anything in your home, an improvement, a repair, an expansion, or maybe you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware has got everything you need. And obviously, for people like me, they're great, okay, because they can help us to not hurt ourselves and learn what we need to know in order to do the thing right, make sure we've got what we need so we're not going to have to go like 5 times to the store. That's always good. But if you're at the other end of the spectrum, like you're actually good at this, you do it for a living, you're a professional, hey, they're your place. They've been doing this for 175 years, since before Levi's, like before the Civil War. They have been there helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. They're the commercial construction supply business in town. You know, great prices, outstanding stuff, and they can work with you to do whatever it is you need. Ask them. Talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield. They'll tell you what they can do. I mean, don't just trust me. You know, what do I know? Go there and see for yourself. Special orders, sure. You know, specified products, whatever the architect or the engineer needs, they take care of that all the time. Anyway, the point is, they are there for you no matter where you are on this scale. Since 1851, Pensacola Hardware, helping people right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
From the efficiency of American natural gas and the dependability of nuclear power to the strength of Florida's sunshine and the flexibility of advanced battery storage systems, at FPL, we leverage a diverse mix of energy sources to power our growing state, ensuring reliable, low-cost power whenever you need it. See how at FPL.com. FPL, working for you every single day.
If you've lived in Pensacola long enough, chances are a piece of jewelry in your life has passed through Beret. An engagement ring, a family heirloom, a necklace that needed a little extra care. For 40 years, Beret Jewelers has been the place locals bring the pieces that matter most. From custom designs to expert repairs to rings that start new stories and more, Beret does it all.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit FLOFR.gov to learn more.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Local. Dependable.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
Sorry, I made you wait a little bit longer there. We were simulating the never-ending automatic fire in the latest Jack Ryan movie online.
And I haven't seen it yet, so I can't. Yeah.
Just, you know, when you're watching these movies and they never run out of ammunition, and then, you know, they've been shooting, you know, 200 rounds out of this 30-round mag for the last 4 minutes, and then they pause to change the magazine out. And even my wife, you know, who's not particularly a gun lover, she's like, are they going to run out of ammunition yet? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, goodness.
5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable. What was I going to tell you about? Now I don't even remember. Completely lost my place here. This is fun. You want a great, like, make you feel terrible story? Here, let's do this right. This is definitely one of these.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
This is crazy.
Oh no, we're doomed.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Today's sign of the apocalypse.
Story in Fortune magazine headline, Gen Zers are arriving to college. How do you think this is going to turn out?
Not good. Unprepared.
Unable to even read a sentence on their own. Professors warn it could lead to a generation of anxious and lonely graduates. But that's what? How is that the conclusion? Oh, these graduates are going to be so anxious. I am... I'm about done with hearing about how anxiety is everything and everything makes people anxious. I know you're going to say I'm callous and indifferent and don't understand the psychological health needs of people, but grow up, be a man. Stop it.
And how did you make it to college?
I'm too nervous about asking girls out. Yeah, it makes you nervous to ask girls out. That's not anxiety. That's not a generational problem. That's being a dude who's interested in getting a girl. I mean, anyway, so one shocked professor has described young adults showing up to class unable to read a single sentence. She says, Jessica Hooten Wilson, a professor of great books and humanities at Pepperdine, a good university. It's not even an inability to critically think. It's an inability to read sentences. I feel like I'm tap dancing and having to read things out loud with them. There's no way that anyone read it the night before. Even when you read it in class with them, there's so much they can't process about the very words that are on the page.
She's probably one of those classes that you have to take and people are just like bored.
I haven't taught in a long time, so I cannot say personal experience. The kids we hire here are great. I don't have this problem, but man, they're actively ending home reading assignments and they'll just bring them into school and read with them. Timothy O'Malley, Father O'Malley, is a theology professor at University of Notre Dame. And he says, he's had to adapt to student behavior. They show up unprepared, of course, but typically in the beginning of his career, you'd assign 20 to 40 pages of reading per class and students would either do it or admit they struggled. Today, if you assign that much, they don't even know what to do. They don't know how to read it. They'll go to the AI summary. That's all they know how to do anymore. Which, I want to believe this is not true. But I sadly don't believe it's not
true. Listen on air.